Welcome to the final Dungame and Dragrin session of 2018. It's a downtime session. It's been a tough old time for everyone, for our characters at least. So we're doing a little bit of downtime. Let them do what they want to do. And we're starting off with everyone's favourite dwarf, Nevin.
Hello.
So as I understand it, Nevin, you are interested in looking for Daffid.
Yes, he's my best friend and he went missing.
Well, this is turning into a little interview. So, from what we know of Daffid, there's really only one place he could have gone, and that's obviously a bar.
Well, he's got to ply his trade. He's a bard after all. He's got to shake his cap at people too.
It's in the name as well, bar, bard. So, you are going to a bar. I like the idea that Nevin doesn't really know what bar he might. That Daffid might be in, so he'll just go to the closest one and assume that's where he is. That seems like a very Nevin thing to do.
I think he'd start at the closest one and work his way in a random direction to any other bars that are close by.
Fair enough. So inside the bar, I assume you're going to go over to the bartender. Now inside, it's reasonably busy. There's sort of like 8 or 9 people in here, mostly common folk. There's a couple people in here who might catch your eye if you were going to look around. You obviously naturally don't see Daffid or any halflings in here for that matter. And if you notice a few of the people in there do seem quite drunk.
In a bar? Right, I'd obviously look around, so can I roll investigation to...
Yeah.
See what I see. Right, 9.
Okay, so the inside of this bar, it's quite dark. There's not a huge amount of light in here aside from there's a couple candles and a couple windows, very small windows, and there's a little bit of natural light coming in through there. The brightest this room gets is when the door opens and all the light comes in through that.
One of those.
It's the perfect place for Daffid, really. So
why is there a sign that says live entertainment?
Actually, yes, there is. There is a small little, to call it a stage would be an insult to stages, but it's like a little raised platform with like a chair on it that you would suspect people play music on or do something there. There's no one sitting there currently.
Okay. Can I see the owner or the bartender or...
Yes. So there's an obvious bar there and there is a rather gruff-looking woman standing behind cleaning a glass.
Okay, I'll approach her and ask her, excuse me, have you seen Daffy?
Who's Daffy? What is a Daffy?
Daffy's my friend.
That's very descriptive. I get a lot of dwarves in here. They like their drink.
No, he's not a dwarf. He's a little guy.
He's a little guy. Have you lost a child?
No, he's not a child. He's a little guy. I put my hand about halfling height and say, about that high.
Are you sure you're not describing a child?
I don't think his wife married a child.
One of the people sitting at the bar looks over, grunts and says, I think he's talking about halfling. To which the bartender will return.
Ah, of course, I always forget about them. We don't see many halflings around these parts. They're a bit too fancy. Not into the ale.
And she sort of pours. It looks... It's liquid, but in a very solid way. It's very...
Non-Newtonian.
Non-Newtonian, yes. You do think if you were to play some music at it, it would dance.
He likes to sing. He's got a lovely singing voice.
Oh, is he a performer? We've had a few in here, but I... Hey, Jerry!
And she sort of shouts over to someone on the other side of the room.
Do you remember any halfling singers in here recently?
And the guy on the other side of the bar just... shakes his head and returns to his drink.
Trying to think, what would Nevin do next? Nevin thanks the woman for her time and leaves to go looking for another place where Daffy might have been performing.
Okay, as you start to leave the bar, there's a guy sitting right next to the door, and he puts out his foot as if to try and trip you. Dexterity saving throw?
A 2 with a -2. Eesh.
You go tumbling to the ground, and he remarks, "We don't like your kind in here. Always taking the good mining jobs. This war's been hard on all of us, but us miners, we've got less and less to do because of people like you."
Nevin gets up and brushes himself down. "I do like to mine."
"Yes, that's exactly the problem. You people live in those damn mines. You'll mine all day and mine all night. What's a human going to do against that?"
"Help us mine?"
"Like your pride wouldn't get in the way of us actually helping. Last time I was down in the mines with a group of dwarves, you had me pushing carts. I didn't even lift a pickaxe."
"Did you bring your own pickaxe?"
"I brought my own everything. Pickaxe, shovel. You dwarves won't even look at human-made equipment, though. It's all beneath you, isn't it?" And he gives you a little shove.
"Yes."
He punches
you. It's hard to bully Nevin.
Really, really is. He punches you.
"Through my armor class, I doubt it."
"Yeah, well, we'll see. 17, fuck you."
"Oh, meets it, beats it. 17 armor class."
He punches you.
"I take it back." "Oh, that's brilliant."
He does 2 damage.
"Ow.
You've got like 50 hit points."
"No, Nevin said ow, not me."
"I know he said ow, but he's got like 50 hit points." As the guy punches you, a full-on brawl just breaks out in the bar. Like, someone grabs him and punches him in the face. A couple at the bar start fighting. The barmaid just keeps cleaning glasses. This seems to be a regular occurrence in this place.
So roll initiative?
If you want to.
No, the guy's, as you say, he got punched by someone else, so he's otherwise engaged, so Nevin's just going to shrug his shoulders at the stupid humans and leave as he was planning to do anyway.
Okay. So you walk out of the bar and you get a little ways away, like 20, 30 feet, and then you hear the door open again behind you, a little bit of a creaky door, and someone runs out shouting after you.
By name or just dwarf?
Just dwarf. But it's not angry shouting. They're trying to get your attention, it's not an angry voice.
It would take a few, like, dwarf, 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 for him to actually take notice and realise that someone's calling him specifically. But he will turn around, yeah.
Okay. So by the time you turn around, you see one of the interesting people from I mentioned earlier, who were inside the bar. This is a oddly dressed man. He is, you could almost call him wearing a jester's uniform. It's not quite so stereotypical, but yeah, it's a colourful dress, definitely intended to amuse. And he tells you, "You're looking for the bard, the one in the Caballeros."
"Yes, Daffy."
"Wait, you're the one who saved us, aren't you? I can't remember your name. I remember your face, though. You were there, weren't you?"
"I've been lots of places."
Do you remember me at all? You saved a load of us from those little cells."
"Was there some gold on the floor?"
"Now you mention it,
Yeah, I think there was a lot of gold on the floor.
I remember that place.
I think we owe you one for saving our lives. I'm Johori, by the way. And he goes to shake your hand.
Nevin will shake your hand.
I don't think any of us actually thanked you for saving us, but thank you. You probably saved our lives. I think I know of someone who can help you find your friend.
Who is it?
You need to go and find the All-Seeing Bard. That's all I know their name, but they have a market stall in the Vestag Market. They offer out premonitions, but they use bardic magic to create them. It's quite a show off, if you ask me, but their magic is strong. They can probably find him.
We're in the market. I'll go there now.
It's somewhere sort of on the outside. I don't really know. Johori will sort of point you in the direction of the festive market and send you on your way and give you a wave farewell.
Goodbye, Johori.
So, it is Christmas time in the real world, and it is Christmas time in Mwerken. The seasons do relate, roughly. But this is fantasy, so they don't celebrate Christmas. They celebrate Festag, a totally original and not at all stolen from Warhammer Holiday. The All-Seeing Bard has actually quite a large tent presence. Their tent is by far the grandest in sort of the outside bit. As you get closer to the centre, as with the city, as you get closer to the centre, you have sort of the richer food ones and stuff. On the outside, it's sort of a bit more tatty. But their tent is quite obvious. As you approach them, you see that they have a crystal ball. This is not the sort of crystal ball you look into and you see things. It is just a ball made of crystal. So you can approach them.
Okay, yeah, I approach, and without any preamble or hellos, do you know where Daffy is?
I was wondering when I would get to meet you. You're Nevin, right?
Yes.
Yes, I foresaw you coming to find your friend.
Do you know where he is?
Well, there is magic in this world that can find him, but...
Can you use it?
I've never met him, so I will... cannot find him directly.
He's about this high. He holds his hand. He has a lute. He likes to tune it.
Okay. Do you have any physical possessions of them on you? Any garments or body parts? Like a lock of hair, maybe?
No, he keeps all of that with him.
Well, I think if you describe them to me, I may be able to find him for you. I think at this point, I'm trying to think what a descriptive check would be.
Please say insight. Don't say religion.
It's not going to be religion. I don't know. It won't be insight.
Please say perception.
It won't be persuasion. I really don't know. There's not really a descriptive check. Maybe performance? I think performance is probably the closest thing.
A 5.
So you give them a pretty vague description of...
To be fair, that's pretty on point. Nevin.
You give them a pretty vague description of him. It's mostly physical, but you sort of give... They are a smart person, so they work out vaguely what they need to do. So at this point, they're going to cast the spell Scrying, which is a fifth level. It's a high level spell. Fifth level divination spell. Now the spell works. The better you know someone, the easier it is to scry them. By which I mean, it's actually a saving throw on their part, which I will be rolling for Daffid because I have that ability. It is a wisdom saving throw. Yeah. So, but the better you know someone, the harder the save modifier is, if that makes sense.
To me or to Nevin?
To me.
There can't be that many halflings holding a lute in Mwerken.
Who says he's in Mwerken?
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, so they're going to cast Scrying. Now they do this, they are a bard. They are not another type of
magical being, I guess. So bards use some form of artistic ability, so music or drawing or something, to perform their spells. Daffy uses singing and his lute. This bard uses... Do you know what a theremin is?
I do.
The crystal ball is a theremin, basically. It's a magical theremin. So they...
Fair enough.
They wave their hands around the ball, and it...
And does it sound like...
Yes, that's exactly the noise it makes. The theremin there being basically famous for... Only famous for being the musical instrument used to make the original Star Trek theme song. So yes, they cast the spell.
Yikes.
That was a -5. It's a difficult spell to save on. So as the theremin gets played, the all-seeing bard grabs onto your wrist, and suddenly you can see in front of you David. You can't really see his location. You can just see him on a black background. But he is...
Hello, Daffy. I wondered where you were.
The all-seeing bard says he cannot hear you, child. You see him, he's not wearing his normal clothes. He's actually wearing light armor. And he is almost frantically firing off spells. You can't really see the spells he's actually casting. And Nevin wouldn't know what any of them were anyway. But
nope.
You can see he's playing his lute in such a way that he is obviously casting spells. As you're watching him do this, he pauses for a second and looks directly towards you, and suddenly the vision ends.
Just as I start waving.
Yes. So suddenly you're now just waving at the all-seeing bard.
Oh, where'd he go?
They seem quite stunned by what has just happened. That is strange. I normally last for about 10 minutes, and normally people can't see the scry. What is your friend gotten into?
Well, he disappeared when we went to see that metal god.
You saw a metal god?
Yes.
They say, interesting. Now, I wonder if your interaction with the god is why we cannot see him properly.
But where is he? Where did he go? He was right here.
We couldn't see his location precisely, but from the cost of that spell, it is safe to assume that he's not in Mawerkan anymore. He is long since gone. He is still on this plane. He is still here, but the spell wouldn't have worked otherwise. But he is far away and under the protection of something far more powerful than myself.
Is it the metal god?
I simply couldn't say.
Is it a halfling god? He says and rolls his eyes.
Again, I do not know which god, or even if it is a god, is protecting him, but it is safe to say that he is in strong and powerful hands, and he is most certainly alive.
Well, that's good news.
I believe your paths will cross again, eventually.
Does that mean soon? I miss him.
I fear you may have to wait a while, my child.
Well, I don't know what to do now. I can't find him in Mawakan. I can't leave Mawakan because I'm a cabbage hero.
How long have you been sitting on that one?
Oh, for weeks, man. Like 4 or 5 weeks. Easy.
Oh my god, that's so good.
I'll go find Soto or Rince and tell them that I know that Daffy's alive. And nothing else.
As you get get up off of the stall, the bard clasps your hand again to hold you back from leaving. There is someone in your future. Someone very peculiar indeed. I think you should trust her. And she lets go of your hand.
Is it Soto or Rince?
No, this is someone new.
Is it the other Soto?
I do not believe so, though I think she can be trusted as well.
Soto didn't like the other Soto.
We often don't like ourselves when presented like that.
She kept saying, no, I don't like this, I don't like this. Oh, well, thank you, and goodbye.
Goodbye, little dwarf, and good luck.
Thank you.
Meanwhile.
So, Soto, You head across the city. You asked around, and you found that the Raven Queen, not a big religion in Moerkan. Not a lot of people queuing up to worship the god of death.
I just don't understand it.
So, you do find there is a temple, there is a place in Moerkan, because this place is too big to not, basically. But it's quite small, and it's in a district quite a way, on the other side of the city. So you spend a while travelling. As you enter the district, you feel a chill come over you. It is cold, it is winter in Moerkan, but it's not like massively cold, but it is much colder in this district for some reason. The houses here mostly sit empty. The businesses have boarded up their windows, and there are very few people. You maybe see like a couple people up the corner of your eye while you're walking through, but this is nothing like anywhere else in the city you've been so far.
Ghost town.
Yeah, very much so. The temple you see is the only building that looks like it's had anyone in it for years, almost. And it's still, it's quite a small, understated building. This is not a church of a popular god, but you can tell that it is a church nonetheless.
Well, Sotor's not even the biggest fan of the Raven Queen herself.
As you go inside, you hear some sobbing, and you see the Shadow Clone is praying at the altar, but
no.
Half praying, half sobbing.
I'm gonna kill her.
She hears you come in and looks over her shoulder and sort of backs away from you.
Soto's going to approach very slowly, but not in any kind of aggressive manner. She's going to have her hands out, and she's going to say, "I don't think either of us are here looking for a fight."
"I thought I might find you here, but I didn't know. If you want me to go, I will."
"I don't know how I feel about you right now, but in this place, anyone's welcome."
"I'm not so sure about that."
"Why'd you say that?"
"Well, when I escaped from you, when I used Misty Step, when I landed, I felt her leave. The power is... I don't hold it anymore. I can't use magic."
"You weren't the one who made the deal."
She looks to the floor solemnly. "I remember making the deal, though."
"You remember everything I remember?"
"Pretty much, up to when we separated."
"Huh. Can't say I ever thought that I wanted a sibling." Soto's gonna sort of feel the mood in the room. It's gonna take a seat. Not next to the clone, but a little way off, you know, just in case.
"I've been coming here almost every day since, but I can't hear her at all. I don't even know what I'm doing, to be honest."
So she sort of looks around the room and sort of shrugs and says, "I hardly know what I'm doing here, but perhaps we can get some answers together."
"That could be nice."
"So is there like a shrine like in this place? Is it? What does the place look like?"
"Yeah, so this is... I don't imagine that the Raven Queen religion has a churchy vibe to it. So it's not like there's pews and things. This isn't like a well-attended kind of thing. But there's an altar at the very least. People have left various offerings to the Raven Queen to try and tempt her fate. Or tempt her fate, tempt her leniency, I guess, is probably the most appropriate word. Naturally, this place feels very void of life."
Soto's gonna... just gonna go to the altar, summon her pact, and just cut into the palm of her hand with it, and hold it over the altar, with her eyes closed.
The room feels colder. You feel a presence here. Something much larger than yourself. And it's a presence you are familiar with.
Sensing this, Soto is going to call out and say, "I seek guidance."
You mortals always seek something.
Yes, well, that's why we make deals, isn't it?
Well, everything has a price.
True that. I paid a price recently. I drank a wild magic potion in an attempt to help a friend, a companion, and the result is sat in the temple with me.
The offshoot.
What can you tell me about her?
Nothing that you do not already know.
I feel like I know nothing.
She is you. Or at least she was. Now she is something else.
But how? How does something like this happen?
There are forces in your world you have no concept of. For me to even begin to explain them would fall on deaf ears.
Helpful, as always.
I cannot give you what you cannot accept.
Is she dangerous?
Are you?
So, that's it? I should just leave it be?
There is nothing more that I can do for you. I already give you power. I already do what we agreed upon. I hold up my end of my bargain.
So what of the other? Is she allowed to make a bargain?
If she wishes to, but her circumstances are different.
She's me, but she isn't me.
She holds her own soul. I do not make pacts with physical bodies. I make pacts with souls. And she is not just an offshoot of yours. She has her own.
Soto's going to back away from the altar, sort of open up her eyes, clench her now throbbing hand, and sort of just think for a moment.
What did she say?
Well, the good news is I don't have to kill you. Bad joke.
The clone laughs. Sort of quite a hearty belly laugh. That is good news.
She says that you have your own soul. You're not just some sort of imitation of me. Well, you are and you aren't. You're something. But I'm not sure if you're going to get your answers here, or even from me.
Where should I go?
I suppose it's for you to find out. I mean, you know that it's not a lot of help I can offer.
She chuckles at that, too. We devoted so much of our life to her.
Well, you're free to devote your life to something else now, I suppose. Or you can always see if she's willing to take you on again. I'm not sure if it's something I would do again. It's still very strange.
Yeah. What was it that we always wanted to become when we were kids? Before all of this happened? This gives you an opportunity to... You now get to basically choose what this character becomes from here. And you don't have to obviously build a new character or anything, but even if it's just something vague like help people, we can build something off of that. You don't have to commit to something specific now, but just sort of a vague idea of where we want to take this character in the future.
I've gone through a few ideas of them being a rival and making a pact with I can't remember who they are, but the god of undeath, who is against the Raven Queen, and kind of have a rival situation going on, or I don't know, this whole meetup's been quite amicable, so I don't know if that would fit.
That'd be fun. I think, yeah, the character you're referring to is Orcus.
Yes.
Prince of the Undead. So he's interesting in the sense that the Raven Queen is a god. Orcus is just a very powerful demon.
See, I think that'd still work because going back, Sotor's kind of backstory, she was part of like a travelling group of nomads, I guess, kind of like fortune tellers and stuff. And the reason she paired up with the Raven Queen is because her family, they'd kind of use a lot of necromancy to trick people into thinking they were speaking with like their long lost dead and all that kind of stuff and making money off of it, which obviously the Raven Queen doesn't like.
Yeah.
So that would still be an interesting thing for this clone to go back to as well, like kind of back to her roots.
Sorry, I've just looked up Orcus. He was a 4th edition character, but there is a 5th edition version of him. He's challenge rating 26.
Okay.
So that means a party of 4 level 26 characters would be equal to him.
Damn.
He can at will cast Chill Touch, which deals 5d8 necrotic damage.
Jeez. So it's just like a free action.
It's just at will, just whenever he wants. he can also once a day cast Time Stop, which means that you briefly stop the flow of time for everyone but yourself. No time passes for other creatures while you take 1d4 plus 1 turns in a row, during which you can use actions and move as normal.
I could take him.
And that's just his spells. He has magic resistance. He can cast Animate Dead or Create Undead. Choose the level at which that spell is cast, and the creatures created by the spell remain under his control indefinitely. His basic melee attack is his tail. It has plus 17 to hit. It hits
what?
3d8 plus 8 plus 4d8.
No 3d8 one is dodging
plus 8
that.
Piercing damage plus 4d8 poison damage. His spell save DC is 23. He has plus 15 to hit with spell attacks. He can just cast Power Word Kill.
What?
He can just do that. That's just a thing he can do.
I don't like you anymore. Kill.
Literally. It's Power Word Kill. It's a 9th level enchantment. You utter a word of power that can compel one creature you can see within range to die instantly. If the creature you choose has 100 hit points or fewer, it dies. Otherwise, the spell has no effect.
So, you don't even get to do saving throws. You're just dead.
You're just dead.
Jesus.
He also has 405 hit points. The highest hit points I think you guys have fought is 62.
Yeah, I think I'd take about 20 rounds of hitting him non-stop.
Yes. So, if you choose to go along this path, Orcus will not... I would just straight up say now, Orcus will not be the final boss, because that's just fucked. We're not getting... Your characters are not going to get to level 20. We'll wrap up well before then, I suspect. But...
No, that's fine. I'm just thinking, as a source of power, that's probably a good road to go down.
Yeah, maybe.
And essentially have it as maybe all the choices that Soto's kind of shied away from, or I guess it's like giving in to like the darker side, I suppose.
Yeah.
Even though I don't know how you get much darker than the Goddess of Death, but I guess a demon does the trick.
The Prince of Undeath and the Blood Lord. That's pretty dark. Okay.
I'm going to have Sotor get an emo cut and talk about her artwork a lot now.
That's another thing we'll need to discuss, because it would make sense for this character to no longer share your name. Again, a thing we can discuss and work out a a name that Sotor would give herself if she was changing paths in this way.
Yeah, I have to think about that one.
Yeah.
We'll start the name backwards.
Rutos.
Rezag.
I'll go all the way. Rezagrats. Rutos.
That's quite a demonic sort of name.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
I'll think about it.
So, what exactly do you... We'll sum up the last, 15 minutes of us just talking about how crazy this fucking demon is.
Also, sum that up in a way that you would say to yourself.
You're no longer bound to the Raven Queen, like I am. I'm not sure what I'd do with that freedom, but maybe it's time to go home, if you can. If there's anyone left.
I don't know how I'd even find them.
Yeah, I'm afraid I can't help with that. You know the last place that they were at.
Start from there and work my way through.
That's what I'd do.
And I guess it's what I'm going to have to do.
So just sort of sighs and rubs her forehead and reaches down and takes out the little hand axe that she's got at her side that she was using before she got her packed weapon. Sort of flips it and hands it to herself, her clone buddy. I think you'll be needing this more than I will.
Yeah, no kidding. That greatsword is huge.
And try and avoid the wild magic potions.
Something we can both agree on.
I'll, yeah, you know where to find me if you need anything, I suppose.
Thank you, Sotor. Really. It means a lot that you're helping me like this. I know that this can't be great for you.
Well, I did try to kill you when I first saw you.
We all make mistakes. Guess I'll see you around then.
Yeah, I'll see you around. And Francis on Sotor's shoulder sort of, crack, see you around.
The clone nods to Francis and then exits the temple. I don't know if you wanted to do anything else while you were in there?
No, I think Sotor's just gonna just wait for a moment and let her new twin sort of disappear before she leaves. But as she does leave, just gonna take whatever wild magic potion she's got on herself and just toss them as far as she can.
They shatter against the wall, and I don't think I've ever described the wild magic potions, like what they actually visually look like.
I just always assume they were green, glowing green.
Yeah, that works for me. I always thought they were sort of a bit more silvery, but in that way where it's like every colour at once.
Oh, so like where you turn them, the light kind of gives you the rainbow effect.
Yeah, but it sort of just does that as it swirls, I guess. The liquid, either way, drips to the floor. And another clone of you pops. No,
I swear, I am killing that one.
That'd been so good. No, the liquid drips to the floor, but and oozes into the ground.
Meanwhile,
rises in a bit of a bad way. It's been a couple days since we left her with, I was going to say, the corpse of a hellhound, but well, the smouldering area where a hellhound used to be before they were dragged back to the abyss through a portal, and you came, I was going to say face to face, but it was more face to giant eyeball of something that peered through into our world, or into your world. From there, you've been nursing a pretty severe chest wound from when you got literally sliced.
I like to think that Ryze now has a really cool scar that kind of goes from her shoulder down, across. I'm going to refer to it as the boob scar, to be honest with you.
Of course. So, you've not gone back to the Caballeros since you killed two of them and then got killed. Or rather, killed one of them, got killed, came back, then killed another one. because that D&D, man.
It was self-defense.
Was it? Was it?
Kind of.
So, you've been walking the streets. You've sort of painted yourself into a bit of a bad corner, being a murderous tiefling, because people don't like tieflings. Not massive fans of murderers either. You've been sort of hobbling around the streets, not with really any direction. At least that's what you thought, but you discover that you have actually been absent-mindedly walking somewhere. You have been going somewhere, just you didn't realise. And you come to appreciate an imposing black stone building.
Mm-hmm.
You're compelled to enter, and as you do, you see that the walls are adorned with instruments of torture, and you can hear screams of pain coming from several of the doors that line this nave. Because this is a church. This is a church to Loviatar, the Maiden of Pain.
Ooh. Also sounds like my last night out, but there you go.
We play D&D, we don't have nights out. You do one or the other, you don't do both.
I roll for initiative on the pub crawl.
A woman in black robes approaches you. She says, "Come, you have not come here by accident. None come to Loviatar by accident. Pray with me. Maybe you'll find the answers you seek."
Rise, I think given the way in which she has come into the church, is going to sort of just smile and go with it, I think. Seeing as she's been, you said she's compelled, so I think she's just going to go with it and, I guess, kneel down and start praying.
Okay, so you head to an altar, I guess, is probably the closest thing. This is more, it's a stone slab that you could probably tie someone to and do things to them that they would not enjoy. There's definitely sort of a way of collecting blood on this table. But for now it is clean and empty, devoid of body parts. You can pray to it. What do you ask of your god?
Rise is going to, given the recent events of what's happened, she's going to somewhat ask for a little bit of forgiveness, considering she fell in battle. And she feels, because although Rise is, you know, let's be honest, there's a little bit of bloodthirst person here, she has the utmost respect and honour for her party. So she's disappointed in herself that she sort of let them down. So she's going to pray for forgiveness there. But because of the injury she took, she's feeling somewhat, dare I say, enlightened. So she's also going to try and ask for some sort of guidance on where she should go next, what she should do next.
So, as you kneel there praying to your god, praying to Loviatar, they really make these names hard to pronounce, don't they? Like, that's not a... that doesn't flow at all.
Should we just go with the Maiden of Pain? Or Jeff?
No, it's fine. We'll stick with that. But it's just bad. So, you felt this sort of presence before, when you communed with the god of the Modron, when you communed with Primus. But this is still quite different to that, where he was the god of order and very much clockwork, very much, in its place. This feels colder and sharper and painful almost. Not in a bad way, but in a bad way, actually. This is a painful touch you are feeling, but there is nothing physically touching you.
Do I need to roll for damage or anything, or am I okay?
No, you're fine. Okay. You're not taking damage, you're just in pain, as the Maiden of Pain specifically takes note of you.
Those who embrace the pain are always welcome in my arms. But tell me, Rise, you ask me for guidance. What do you really want?
Rise, sort of trying not to let on that this hurts, this stings. You know, she's trying to maintain her composure, as it were. She's gonna either speak or think. I don't know how whichever way communicates back to the Maiden of Pain. I can't read her name. Okay.
It's Leviata, not Leviosa.
Sorry. Oh, I can see it now. Actually, yeah. Leviata.
Leviata.
Still sounds like Leviosa.
Yep. Really does.
So sorry. She asked Rise what she actually wants. Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, goddess. Truth be told, what I really want is just to get better at hurting people. The soldier who cut me down, my only regret is I didn't make him suffer more.
Physical pain is but one aspect of torture. You need to use your other skills to truly hurt someone. Only knowing someone fully can you then inflict the maximum pain.
You say that by learning more of my enemies, I can do more damage?
How does that saying go? Sticks and stones? Trust me when I say, names hurt so much more.
Rise is gonna let on a bit of a grin now and just be like, oh, madam. You say jump, I'll ask how high. Don't make it weird.
Well, there is a specific section of Leviata's church description that says, during warfare, priestesses of Leviata scourged their naked shoulders or tore their cheeks with their nails to evoke magic.
I mean, I'm kind of down with that.
And I'm still trying to work out if it's just their shoulders that are naked, or if that's just, this is just the nudist.
Oh no, what have I got right into? I mean, to be fair, I am totally down for some blood magic.
I don't know. Blood magic is a thing in D&D. I don't know much about it, though.
I will make a note to read up about it.
Yeah. I've just typed in blood magic and got a Minecraft mod. That's the name of a Minecraft mod.
It's important to remember that not every problem can be solved with pain. Sometimes a quick death, while not painful for that person, cause more pain to someone else.
Go on.
The future for you is testing. You have a good opportunity to show your skills, but I don't know if you're ready.
Oh, Maiden of Pain, trust me, I will do everything I can to be more than ready for your test.
If only it was my test. The universe tests you, Rise. The universe tests us all.
Well, you're the second deity I've encountered in the last few weeks. I'm up for just killing the universe. So hell with it. Let's have some fun, shall we?
Well, if you want to kill a god, you can always try Illmater.
And you feel the pain recede away.
Oh, Rise was enjoying that.
Oh dear, of course she was.
Rise, feeling the pain leave, sort of lets out a small sigh of relief, and she has still a very big grin on her face, very happy with the experience she's just had. She's feeling somewhat, enlightened.
So while you were communing with your god, some other people have entered the church, and one of them taps you on the shoulder.
And Bryce turns around, I suppose, with a sort of just a curious, still with this, dare I say, psychotic grin on her face.
You see Tamrak, and behind him there are some heavily armoured caballeros.
Oh no.
You're not an easy person to find.
Well, have you never heard that the good ones are always hard to catch? What can I do for you? And she's going to flutter her eyelashes a little bit.
I believe we need to talk.
Yes, I believe you are right there. We should probably have a chat. Well, no time like the present. Shall we get on with it?
Why don't you go first?
Very well. Before that, do you know where we are?
Yes, I am very aware of where we are. He sort of looks around disdainfully.
That's good. Well, in that case, I suppose I don't have to explain who the Maiden of Pain is, but it's worth pointing out that this generous goddess is the one I serve. In fact, I was just talking to her. Don't worry, you didn't interrupt. We'd finished by then. It's fine. How many are there in total, did you say?
3, including Tamrak.
Okay. I suppose you are aware of the other knight. Who? Gosh knows how many days it's been now.
I suppose when you're on the run, they all blend into one.
On the run is a very... interesting way of putting it. More soul-seeking. Let's go with that. But regardless, yes. Well, the events that led up to this moment, of course, involved some interesting and, dare I say, possibly unbelievable things. But we, as in myself and my party, who I don't actually know where they are right now. It's quite lonely, actually, without the dwarf. I quite like him. Anyway.
They're taking some well-deserved time off.
Rise is going to sort of raise an eyebrow at this point and question, sort of question, a bit of a stern, questioned way. Be like, I suppose by that you mean vacation?
Not exactly, but they are both also doing searching of their own.
Would it be insight to see?
Yeah.
Can I do an insight check just to see what I can kind of get off his body language and just him?
Yeah.
That's a 17.
Yeah, he's being honest with you. He's not being especially aggressive towards you either. Considering what you have done, you probably expected him to be a bit more confrontational, but he's actually being quite chill about the whole thing.
Well, that's good to know then. So, I assume you may have already spoken to them before to give you my side of the things, of the story, shall I say. We found what was causing the fires in the city, and lo and behold, it was a small child. Nay, the pet of a small child. A beast which was somewhat invisible. I can see the look on your face. Bear with me on this one. We were able to persuade her and her father to let us take it somewhere a bit more suitable. We, on the way, were deciding how we would deal with it. But given that it was in a good mood, we thought it best to just be quick and get it over with, rather than waste time going through the proper channels, albeit that somewhat unprofessional. As we approached the barricade, we had a slight complication, dare I say. And unfortunately, some of the guards, or late guards, I think it's probably the correct way to say it, Antagonized would then reveal itself to be a hellhound. But of course, because it was invisible to begin with, they didn't know. And though we tried to explain, it didn't work. And as you know, a fight broke out, and there may or may not have been some fatalities. She's gonna just sort of slightly pull her shirt across to just reveal a bit of the scar. You know, it's quite an impressive scar. And once that mess was dealt with, and the beast was drawn back into the fire, well, now I'm here. And I haven't seen my friends for a few days, but as you've already explained, you know where they are. That's what happened.
Tamrak smirks, puts his hand on your shoulder, and moves to sit down at the altar. So sort of like on the steps. He's going to sit down and face out back in towards the front of the church? Back of the church?
I guess towards the entrance?
Yeah. I don't know whether that's the front or the back, which is weird. The entrance of the church. Yes. From both the dwarf and Sotor's reports and the gibbering wreck of the Caballero we recovered from the old town, we pieced together pretty much what you just described. It is my belief that if those officers had not been so reckless, so shown such hubris, that no damage would have occurred to the city and this whole affair would have blown over peacefully.
For what it's worth, and I know we are somewhat of a difficult group to have under your employment, we did try to not make a mess this time. And in the presence of a goddess, I honestly mean that.
You may be the most difficult group I have ever had to work with. You are also the most effective, especially when you consider the knights. He looks over at the heavily armoured two that followed him into the church. They are a ways back. They're not involved in this conversation. Although the church is quite echoey, so it's fully possible they can hear everything that's being said. Tamrak just doesn't care. They reach a point where they think they're untouchable. That they think that simple missions are below them. Makes already weak forces even weaker. You want to know why the city is in such a ruin? Crime everywhere? People not trusting us? It's because of them. But groups like yours, who actually get things done, you're changing opinions. Some for the worse, admittedly, but stopping those fires has done a lot for our credibility.
Well, that's good at least. I suppose it is. It isn't easy working the city, especially with our reputation, and may dare I add, being a tiefling, the prejudice is it's there. But I digress. We try our best, and we think we do our best. And albeit our methods may have a lot of madness to them, as you've just expressed so elegantly yourself, I'm glad that we're getting things done and things are changing. I just hope from here on out, we get slightly less resistance. And she's just going to sort of glare at the guards in the room.
I fear that that request is almost certainly not going to come true. And where he's been talking quite openly, he now sort of leans in a little bit and is stage whisper. There are those higher up than I, who abuse their power. It's where the knights get it from. They take what they want and leave the city to ruin.
Rise her face is going to go back to that sort of psychotic smile. She's going to... It was still within the whispering distance, but I'm not going to whisper because screw it. She's going to look him back in the eye and just say, "Well, sir, it's good that you say that because I've got some new techniques I'd like to try. So this is going to be fun."
"I can protect you from their retribution if you go searching for them. But I need you to show a little restraint in order to bring down the corrupt. Some subtlety is required. Picking them off one by one will just alert them to what we're trying to do. We need to bring them all down at once. And we can't do that if you start killing indiscriminately like you have been doing so far."
"Don't worry. We'll make sure to play by your rules. Besides, I'm loyal to the party, and I'm sure they'll agree that the way you see to do it is best, so I'll go with them. I'll get my fun sooner or later."
"I'm glad we can be honest with each other."
She's gonna like give him a little elbow nudge and be like, "See, we're not that bad."
"Yes, indeed." And he stands. "Are you going to come back with me?"
"Of course. I need to get back to the party and I think have a good chat with them and see what they've been up to. But give me a few minutes and I'll be with you. I just want to spend a bit more time here. It's a nice, interesting building, so I'll just have a quick walk through, if that's all right with you."
"Yes. Say anything you will about this church, but they certainly have interesting architecture. We'll wait for you outside," and he gestures towards the knights that they are leaving.
As he's walking out, just before he gets out, Ryze is gonna, I guess, either call over, depending on the distance, or just sort of say, "Oh, and sir, should you ever need assistance with a more personal matter, do be sure to give us a call." And she's gonna wink and just sort of leave it at that, knowing that we're going into essentially a what could be a very risky plan trying to take down some higher ups. So just to, "I've got your back," as it were.
Tamrak is going to look back at you, smirk, and say, "Sorry, Ryze, you're not my type," and leave the building.
Under her breath. "Oh. Well, that's a first." Is there anyone else in the room? No, there is no one else in the room, is there?
Well, there was woman in black robes, another cleric to Loviata, the one that brought you, that sort of greeted you and took you to pray. But then you started talking to yourself, so she got weirded out and went to do something else.
In that case, then, because I was going to say Ryze turns and says something to them, but Ryze, in that case, seeing there's no one else in the room, and being how she is, just going to turn back to the older woman and be like, "I mean, I've never really had a finger for older men, but, anyway." Just, like, clap her hands together and be like, "Right, back to work."
There we go.
Do you know what, though? I just realized I didn't ask if I was getting put in jail, but I think I'm all right.
Listening to Dungame and Dragrin, the Game Grin Dungeons and Dragons real play roleplay podcast. I've been your host and dungeon master, the Spherical Cat. You can find me on Twitter at the Spherical Cat. Joining me in this session, we had Ace. You can find him on Twitter at AceLister. We had Nikki. You can find him on Twitter at Nikolai Chan. And we had Kayla, who you can find on Twitter at Little Big Boots. Music. You have been listening to Home Is Where the Love Disc Is, an arrangement of Half Home City Day.
and Turkish Coffee, a rearrangement of the Splunky songs, Deathmatch, and title screen. I want to thank OC Remix for letting us use the songs. This was our last session of 2018, so from everyone here on the Dungame and Drag Ring crew, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and we will see you all in 2019.